Welcome to the latest episode of The Drop on the National Wiffle Podcast Network. I'm Paul Cook. Tim and Nick have the evening off tonight, so I'm joined by a very special guest, Jordan Robles. Jordan, thanks for joining us here on short notice.
No problem. Thanks for having me. This is awesome. It's been pretty cool to talk to these guys so far, and I can't wait to see them at a couple MEW tournaments and hopefully at UWIFS later this year.
Yeah, me too. So as Jordan's alluding to, we've also got three other guests this evening from the upstart Maryland Chesapeake Wiffle Ball League, which will be getting its inaugural season underway in just a couple weeks now. March 6th, Saturday, March 6th is the first weekend for this new league. It's an 8-team league in Maryland, just right outside of Annapolis. We're really excited about this league. I know Tim's talked to Michael a lot. These guys are real excited to get going. Lots of good baseball players, lots of players with really deep baseball backgrounds, and we'll talk to a couple of those guys tonight. So, I know, Jordan, I'm sure you're probably itching to get back out there, and, these guys are pretty lucky. They get to get out there in 2 weeks already.
Yeah, it's been tough with this freezing weather, but yeah. It's 50 degrees today, so I was pretty thankful for that. Some of the snow is finally melting up here.
Yeah, it's finally starting to feel like wiffle ball weather. And a couple leagues are already underway, and this will be the first league to really get underway in our neck of the woods. So it'll be exciting to follow, for the month and a half or so before we start playing. So let's get right into things. First, I want to introduce Michael Bishop. Michael, thanks for being here. Mike's the commissioner of the Maryland Chesapeake Wiffle Ball League. I believe you were also run the men's senior baseball league.
No.
Okay, you see how Brian put your involved in it, correct?
No, I had a team in the men's league.
Okay, gotcha. But Michael's the commissioner of the Maryland Chesapeake Wiffle Ball League. Just if you could kind of walk us through, Michael, sort of, how your interest in wiffle ball sparked, how what sort of, what's the impetus for you getting involved in WIFS?
Well, 2 years ago, I guess because of COVID, I had a lot of time sitting at home. We just got back from Myrtle Beach World Series, and I got on Facebook. I don't know if somebody shared it or however it popped up, and I actually sat there and watched almost every game that y'all had for the past couple of days up there at that the National Championship of York. And I was very by seeing how fast pitch wiffle ball, how hard the ball was coming in, it just reminded me so much of baseball. And this past year, again, I watched it, and I've been doing baseball for so long. And one thing I was looking at is just with how everything's been going up and stuff, and to keep a team, I probably spend about $7,000 a year. And the closest thing to baseball, by watching you guys, following you guys for 2 years with the fast pitch wiffle ball, and like that really interested me. And knowing that there was no league here, I thought that could be something that, that I can start here and, take off. I know a lot of baseball people, and with having something like that, especially for older guys, I know there's some that you can run, but, you can hit and you don't have to run. So with older guys, it kind of makes the playing field a little bit level with younger guys. That was another thing I looked at, it's myself, I don't like softball. So, right. When I'm done, baseball, that'd be it. And the wiffle ball thing kind of revived me of, hey, maybe I'll be able to make, a couple more years of being able to play. And again, the expense, compared to wiffle ball, it's about $3,000. For me to go out of state for a tournament, but for you guys, it's 150. And I really like that. And I'm a tournament person. I love going to tournaments. I try to do every tournament I can. So, and again, it was very competitive by what I was seeing. And I wanted something new. And that's why, I felt to bring a league here. And like I was telling Tim, Nick, that they said if I can get four teams, that would be good. And I guarantee them eight. So, and I got my eight, which I was very happy about. And hopefully everything's very successful, fun, successful for this year. I like to be able to make it larger. You know, I'm looking at other areas that I could put fields. And just like I was talking to Tim, I actually had everything written down. So like when I was talking to Tim about everything, the first thing I wanted to cut out was the county, because the county is a pain in the butt here. They're, you know, it's too much money for fields. So I was trying to come up with a way to get fields without having a county. And that's where I came up with Larry Tavern's, the bar. They had an open field there, nice open flat ground. And I went and I made a proposal and everything. And that was actually my first choice. I had a couple other choices, but like I said, I did a proposal and everything, sat down with the owner, and she loved the idea. And quite honest, they gave it to me for free. They didn't even charge me to like to use the land. They said, go out there, do what you want with it. You know, if it brings us business, we're happy. And I was very appreciative with that. And that actually helped out too, to keep fees low. So, I mean, that was my whole thing, was be able to, you know, start a league, make it successful, keep the fees low, and have a great time with a bunch of guys, you know, plus introduce them to, you know, Wiffleball, and especially MAW, which is you guys, Paul. And of course, my plan is to do as many tournaments of them, and hopefully I can get some teams out of the league to do it.
You know, it's I think you guys have a really good foundation to go from. I'm sure a lot of I know a lot of our listeners will just, you know, who have tried to start their own leagues, who have been in startup leagues, having eight teams with the, you know, seasoned baseball players that you guys have, you know, isn't a common thing. So I think it's really cool. And I love the tavern setting for the fields. That's that's a real cool, unique, you know, backyard football type field. So really looking forward to, you know, following you guys all spring. But let's talk a little bit about those eight teams and the players that make up this league. And we'll bring in our other two guests now. We've got David Greeley and Wayne Williams joining us. Thanks, guys, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. So, you know, Michael, and then you guys could chime in too. Obviously, you recruited mainly, I would assume, from, you know, like you said, your baseball contacts, from people that play in the, you know, the Chesapeake, you know, Men's League. How did that process go? Did you find it easy to recruit players? Were there a lot of questions?
I actually kept quiet, because I'm actually well known for 35s against the Braves. We're battling back and forth in our men's baseball team. And I kept it quiet this past year, because one thing I didn't want to say, tell people, hey, Wiffleball, because when you hear Wiffleball, you hear people think of kid, being a kid.
Yeah.
But I knew what I was getting into when I was watching the MAW and the United Wiffle for the past 2 years. So once I got the foundation set with the proposal of getting the fields and talking with Tim, I knew I could get, you know, a good range of baseball players. And that's why I'm starting the season the first week of March, because I don't want to compete against the baseball league.
Right.
I want to be able to have a competitive league without competing against them. And if that makes sense, because a couple people says, man, it's kind of cold in March. But I mean, if you think about it, I mean, colleges, high school are playing in March. So, I mean, it's, you get days 60 degrees.
Yeah.
That's, it's not bad. Like, I think today was like 50. And I mean, it felt hot compared to all the cold days. So, I mean, you know, I mean, it's not gonna be too bad. We'll probably get a couple of days that'll be cold, but although it'll all work out.
Yep. No, like you said, colleges do it anyway. I'm sure your guys are all used to that. So you mentioned the Braves from the men's baseball league. So David, you're a member of the Braves, correct?
Wayne was a part of the Braves too.
Wayne's a Brave too. So yes, I'm a Brave.
Yeah, these are the two guys.
Part of the Braves before me.
Okay.
Wayne took some time off, and he's coming back to play play again. Also, probably one of the best hitters that our adult league has ever seen. So it's gonna be exciting to see him using a plastic bat to see how far I can hit up this ball.
Wayne, is Earl playing too?
Yes. Yeah.
I love Earl.
They call us the Bang Brothers.
The Bang Brothers.
Do I have this right? I think I read somewhere that the Braves were 149-0-1 before losing two games last May. Is that correct?
Yeah.
To we actually lost to Bishop's team.
Yeah.
You guys call him Michael, but Bishop, that's what we all call him. We lost to him twice last year.
And that's pretty.
If he doesn't the championship, though, that's what counts.
I mean, that's pretty amazing. I think for like any level of baseball to go, what was that, over 6 years undefeated?
Yep, since 2015.
Yeah, so
probably over the last 25 years, we've probably won 25 titles.
Wow.
I don't think you'd have to check with Wolfie Grease, but I don't think, Mike, since you've been, they've won every year, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The only time they didn't win was when they took a year or two off.
So the Braves have a core group of guys, and Wayne's part of that group, that have been around playing together forever. And whenever they bring that team together and put them on the field, they've won the championship that season. I joined the Braves in 2010 when I moved to Maryland, got picked up by them. And every year that we put the Braves on the field, we've won the championship. And Bishop is always the team since 2010, since I've been around, that puts the team on the field that competes with us the best, right? And gives us the biggest heartache. But yeah, I mean, it's a great team. Like Wayne's team is going to, you know, here with wiffle ball. He's going to show up with some of these guys that can hit, right? A couple guys that probably can throw. Wayne knows a lot of baseball guys that really know the game and are competitive enough and athletic enough in their knowledge that they're going to make the adjustments, right? Whether it's the first, second, third is irrelevant. Throughout the season, you're going to see Wayne's team make better adjustments as opposed to something like my team where, you know, I originally came into this thinking, this is going to be something fun I could do with my son. And we got a bunch of friends together, right? I mean, I didn't go out searching for baseball guys. I was just, hey, I'm going to play with my son. We're going to have a good time. Not realizing how competitive it is. And as I got into it more, I was like, okay, this is a little more serious than I thought. So I started to practice. But I think you're going to see in the beginning of the season kind of an even playing field. But I think you're going to see some of these other guys that have the ability to make adjustments and have been in that kind of environment start to do a little bit better.
Yeah, I think, you know, even with the talent that my team's definitely going to have, we're going to struggle. It's completely different. It would be like almost like me going from baseball to fast pitch softball. You know, we have a couple leagues on the shore over here of the fast pitch softball. And a couple of years ago, I faced a couple of their strong guys. And at the beginning, I'm like, I'll never hit this. You know, but I made some adjustments and then became successful with it. You know, what really brought me to this whole wiffle ball thing was when I was a kid. I mean, I know it's adults and, you know, but there was not a better game around, you know, unless you were in a baseball game, a real baseball game. I know that. Prime example, I would play as a little leaguer, as a little kid. I remember playing games, coming home, eating a meal late, you know, 8 o'clock at night, going out with the buddies and turning the lights on and playing wiffle ball in the backyard. And when I saw several things that Mike had put up on Facebook about this league, and it intrigued me, but I didn't go and pull the trigger right away. But what it made me do is it made me start watching some of the YouTube videos and the things that were going on with it. And I'm like, we can do this. I was fortunate enough. I got drafted out of high school. I played 7 years in the minor leagues with the Blue Jays organization. You'd be surprised. I mean, we had wiffle ball machines.
Yeah.
We used wiffle balls and bats to train our hand-eye coordination. I mean, it's you know, some of the balls were like golf ball sized, and then and at times they would mix it up a little bit. But the game of when I was a kid, we used to have a game we called wall ball. And it's so interesting. When I started watching these wiffle ball tournaments on YouTube and all, and I'm looking at the way the rules are set up, it's basically what I was playing. You know, we had the ball would roll out. You had to throw it back in and hit a target. And if you hit it, it was an out, you know? And I was a good successful, I'm not a lefty, but we used to make lineups in wiffle ball. You know, we would use like, you know,
real players. Yeah.
You know, we would use whoever the player was.
Yeah.
You had to hit if he was left-handed. And I'm telling you, wiffle ball really helped me in my baseball career. And I'm just so looking forward to getting back out there. You know, Grease will tell you, I think Mike knows a little bit. I am a competitive son of a gun.
I know you are.
I hate to lose to my son at anything. It was terrible in this house at times when we get so mad. She's like, he's a kid. I said, I don't care. I want to kick his backside, you know? And, you know, so the part of the ability to be able to get out there and play wiffle ball again, just flat out play wiffle ball, you know, hey, we might not be successful at it, but we're going to have fun. That's what baseball is all about anyway.
Yeah.
Having fun, you know, and getting out and enjoying the game.
Yep. No, exactly. I think you'll find, yeah, there's no lack of fun. And what, you know, you're not going to lack for fun playing in, you know, this league and playing in any tournaments. That's what it's all about. I'm like, I'm so glad to hear, you know, David's playing with his son. We've got, you know, a bunch of teams, a few teams that play in MAW where it's, you know, father and kids, a lot of people. We got a few players that are second generation wiffle ball players that, you know, their dads played competitively 20, 30 years ago, and then they pass it down to the kids. So, yeah, I love seeing that sort of bond. You mentioned the competitive, you know, your competitive nature, Wayne, and I'm sure that's why, you know, you've continued playing baseball for, I guess, most of your, you know, adult life. And that's also, I think, you know, Jordan could speak to this, but the nice thing about wiffle ball is you sort of get both aspects. It's fun. It's like you were as a kid, but it also scratches that competitive itch. Would you agree with that, Jordan?
Yeah, absolutely. Like a lot of the things that they were saying about not getting into softball, I hate softball. Like being a true baseball guy, you can't hit a 10 mile an hour arc ball. There's no joy in that. There's no glory in that. So yeah, like especially at these tournaments, early in the day, you might get your fun, like easygoing kind of games. But when you get to the semis and the finals, like the competitiveness ratchets up and the level of play ratchets up too. So it is a good blend of both worlds. But if you're competitive, this is definitely the right place to be because like the possibilities here are endless. And a lot of the things you guys are saying, just picking up arm angles, picking up different grips and pitcher tendencies. Like if you keep that mindset, you guys are going to get very good, very, very quickly too. It's just like baseball. Just got to make those little adjustments throughout the game.
So speaking of arm angles, I think I was told, David, that you're a submarine pitcher. Is that right? In baseball?
Yeah. My baseball career isn't as extensive as Wayne's. I played, a season in the Northern League. I also played a season in the indoor football league. I played quarterback.
Oh wow.
But yeah, I throw submarine. Now when I was playing professionally though, because obviously to a lefty, it's a little easier. I would throw over the top to a lefty if I got put in that situation. So I've been experimenting back and forth with, you know, I say coming over the top. To me, anything where my feel like my shoulder's up, right? That's gonna be over the top for me. To kind of figure out the ball movement and just like Wayne, you know, I like to have fun. I'm very happy-go-lucky. Anybody that plays ball with me, Bishop, I play against Bishop, he'll tell you, I'm probably the first one to smile. I'm happiest on the baseball field, but deep down inside, right? Like I think every baseball player, you want to shove the ball down the next guy's throat, right?
Yeah,
you really want to win. And so even though my initial, you know, thought was to come here and have fun with my son, you know, you get out on the field and that competitive spirit takes over, right? I mean, you want to win and you're going to put it on the line and you're going to shake hands in the end. You're going to have a good time, but that competitive spirit's going to take over. Cause I think it's just in us, right? Especially all of us that have played, you know, sports for a long period of time. Even if you say, I'm going to come out and just have a good time, and you probably will, but you're going to be competitive, right? You're going to try hard. You're going to try to win. You're going to be frustrated when you don't feel like you're playing at the level you should be playing at. So I think it's going to, you know, I keep bringing up the beginning of the season and I don't know how many games it's going to take, but I know it's going to be frustrating early on for a lot of us as we kind of get our feet under us. And I call it your baseball eyes, right? You know, so if you, when you get back out on the field again, playing baseball for the first time in a while, you got to get your eyes back a little bit to see the ball bouncing, the ball flying, the ball coming at you. It's going to be the same thing for wiffle ball. It's going to take a minute to see the ball fly. I mean, just playing in my front yard with my son, you know, him hitting pop-ups and me going to catch them, and I'm not within 3 feet of where I thought it was going to be.
Right.
You know, because it just flies different.
You're a pitcher.
The good part is, that's right,
I don't catch pop-ups because I'm a pitcher. I just point it out. There it is. Somebody come get it.
So, George,
that's the good part. We're all starting at the same time.
That's a really good point. That, yeah, like you guys are all going to learn together. And you got some veterans in there. We'll get to that in a second. But before we do, I just want that story.
There is one team, though, from York.
Correct. Yeah, we'll get to them in a second. I just wanted to real quickly on the submarine thing here. Jordan, you don't drop down submarine, but you dropped down kind of low for your riser. Any sort of, as a submarine, knowing David's a submarine pitcher, do you have any sort of recommendations for him on types of pitches to throw, grips, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I would say the two probably easiest ones for the submarine arm angle are the riser and the drop ball. The drop ball, the holes are facing up, and a riser, the holes are facing down. It's way better for your arm. You should stick to submarine, because if you raise that arm angle up, like, that's when you really get the shoulder pain, the elbow pain, and especially with wiffle ball, you're going to feel it quick. But the submarine is a lot easier on your arm, I'd say.
So I did. So I've learned the three pitches, right? You know, the ones you're talking about, the rise and the sink. But because I'm not straight out the side, because I realize when I throw out the side, I can get pretty much a straight rise or a straight drop. When I'm down underneath, I'm actually, so if I'm throwing to a righty and my sinker is going to go from center plate to back foot of a righty, if I'm throwing the rise ball, it's going to go center plate to up and away to the righty. And then I also figured out how to throw a straight change, and it's going to have a little bit of a sink to it. But it starts pretty heavy, it looks like, and then kind of dies off. So those are the three I started and I was working on. I figured if I could get three pitches to start, and then I'll add some nuances to that. Is that a good approach?
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of like you said, just with every pitch you have, you'll probably get about 2 to 3 variations of your riser, of your slider. Like, you'll know you can start it. Overemphasize starting it behind maybe a righty shoulder and it'll break hard heavy in the inside corner, or you start it down the middle and it'll break late on that out and away to a righty. So like, just the more you throw, the more you play, you'll become more and more familiar. And that changeup, I would say that's one of the necessities. Like a lot of the guys that get hit because they just throw the same speed. But even if you don't have a good changeup, the fact that you show it to a hitter and you put that in the back of their head to think about, like, that's going to help you out in the long run a lot too. Changing speeds is something like a lot of people don't do, but the guys that win a lot, they change speeds well.
Just like baseball.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's Greg Maddux, right?
Yep. It's exactly like baseball. At the higher levels of this, it's exactly spitting image of baseball. It's just guys that know where the ball is going to go. They know how to read certain pitches and how to make those adjustments quicker than others.
So speaking of, you're going to have one veteran team in the league, the Barrel Bruisers. I don't know if you have read up on this team, Jordan, but a lot of good veteran guys. You got Nick Shirey, Dan Potter, Jared Bull, Jerry Hill, Chris Owen, Dave Capobianco, Andreas Svink and Steven Simcox from the Goon Squad, Mike Sidoroff. So, you know, as Jordan can attest to that, it's a lot of good veteran players, a lot of guys that have been around wiffle ball for a long time, a lot of good guys that'll be eager, you know, to teach. So it's kind of a cool mix that, you know, like you said, Bishop, that you know, all other seven teams, your guys are all starting from the same point, but that'll be a cool team to sort of add to the mix. I think I don't think they're going to blow anyone away, but you know, just they have that, you know, there'll be good guys whose brains you can definitely pick. A lot of guys who have been around the game for a while.
That's definitely good. I mean, I'm actually happy with them joining because, like I told you, my goal is to be successful and fun. And with having them coming down, and if they have, you know, a good time,
yep,
I'm hoping that leads to more, you know, PA teams and maybe even some, you know, teams coming from Virginia for next year.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. You guys certainly have the foundation for that. So switching over to hitting, Jordan, same sort of question, but, you know, for what we ask Wayne first, how would you describe yourself as a baseball hitter?
I always have an approach. I feel like I'm always in control. I can dictate what I'm going to hit. I'll split the plate. I'm going to sit here and give my secrets away, and I got to face suspicion, but you know, you still got to get me out. It really depends on where I'm at, you know, and how I'm feeling. I've always been a middle out away hitter. My hands are fast enough to come in, but what made me successful throughout hitting in the minor leagues in the league that we played in is I tend to try not to stride too much. I am a little bit of a rock type hitter, and I hit a lot from the hips and the hands. I throw from the hips and the hands, and I think that's going to be successful. I really, in my day, in my late part of my career, I really tried to emulate Albert Pujols.
Okay.
Albert Pujols had no stride. If you remember back in the day, he'd get low. He'd have a good bend in his knees, and he would just throw his hands. And if at 40, I think you said 48 feet or whatever it is, at 48 feet, you don't have a lot of time to react. So, you know, getting that front foot down, I don't see how in the world, you know, you can do it. I think you're going to be more successful, spread it out a little bit, get out below, out just outside the shoulders. You know, it's not a heavy bat, and keep your head in, drive the ball, take it the other way, take it to center, to right center. And that's where I made all my money, is hitting the ball opposite field.
Well, you're talking to the right guy here. That's Jordan. Like, I got to think you agree with that approach. You're very much a, you know, you can pull the ball, but, you know, taking the ball where it's thrown, opposite field type hitter. Hearing what Wayne described there, do you have any advice for him? How to maybe, you know, carve his hitting approach towards wiffle ball, or do you like what you hear?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely love what I hear. Like, you definitely don't need a stride. The quickest way to get the barrel to the ball and wiffle ball, the pitcher's doing all the work. They're 48 feet away. They're going to be throwing high 90s. So whatever gets the barrel to the ball fastest, stride, no stride, I think that's the best approach. But I would say primarily, like, things to look for, just arm angles and pitcher tendencies. You know, like, what does a guy throw in a 2-0 count when he absolutely needs to throw a strike? What pitch is that? And then if he comes over the top, which two pitches is he going to throw compared to like that lower arm angle? It's exactly like baseball. Like the Albert Pujols stride approach, just getting shortened to the ball. It's going to work. It's going to work in any form of, you know, people throwing an object at you with a stick in your hand. So fundamentals works. Baseball works. So just keeping that in mind and keeping it simple, I think that's probably the best approach.
This question is for, you know, Michael or any of you guys could answer it. You know, of the, I know the guy's got a lot of talented baseball players in this league. Any names you want to throw out of that, maybe guys that you think we should look out for in wiffle ball, you know, in their, in the league this year, you know, making their transition to wiffle ball?
Well, Wayne's being quiet, but he's got a stud team. there's quite a few ex-pros on that team.
I'm going to tell you.
I wouldn't be surprised if Dante Bichette shows up.
Well, I'm going to tell you, there's this guy, Donnie Mayette, okay? And there's two of them, and Greg Rush. They're both in. Now, let me just – I want to really get into this just for a second. They're both in the National Hall of Fame for softball. All right. But Donnie played in the Brewers organization for 6 years. He is a stud. I mean, this guy, in my opinion, this guy, he's just a complete package. We're going to put him in the outfield. And you won't even believe it, at 53, this guy's a dart. He can fly. He can go get anything. And he just is, he's a lefty, and he's so good. And the only problem with him, he is competitive. I mean, I'm going to have 25 bats here because they're probably going to be folded in half. But, you know, and then Grease can tell you, Big Earl. I mean, this guy, Earl, he was in the Orioles organization. His very first year, he was at Bluefield. And, you know, typically in a minor league season, you get about 300 at bats. Well, he got hurt and he only got 100 at bats that first year. And he hit 23 bombs in that first year. So do the math. I mean, he might be that hitter in wiffle ball. These guys know Earl's not the big, I mean, if Earl gets it, it'll go. Even now, he's not the hitter he used to be in respect to that power. But I think if I'd have to name one or two, either Donnie or Greg, and these are two softball Hall of Famers, they're just really, really, really good with the bat. You know,
I don't think Wayne's doing himself justice though. So the last game Wayne came out to play with us, we happened to be the Braves baseball team, happened to be at the same field where Wayne was. And I don't remember if you were working or if you were just passing by.
It was my alma mater.
Yeah. So he shows up. Wayne's in Crocs. And our coach says, Wayne, do you want to get an at-bat? He says, yep. He goes up there with Crocs. Somebody hands him a jersey. He just throws it over his jeans with his Crocs on. And he smokes a double. Now, he only gets a single because he can't run in his Crocs. But it was just smoked it. And then walked off the field like, yeah, that's just what I do. So I don't think Wayne's giving himself any justice here. Wayne's going to hit the ball well. He's going to hit it hard. Because like you said, when you face guys, coming from a pitcher's perspective, right, when you face a hitter who can hit a ball that's on the outside of the plate, and it doesn't matter whether they can pull that or push it away or whatever, but the fact that a hitter can reach across the plate and get that pitch, right, makes it much more difficult for a pitcher. So when you're facing those types of hitters, guys that can turn on a ball, right, those are easy outs for pitchers. We love to see those guys, right? Go ahead, spin circles all day long in that box, right? But you get a guy that can reach across the plate, and it makes difficult work for the pitchers, which is why you have the stories of the guys like the Roger Clemens and the Nolan Ryans when guys would hit the ball hard opposite field off them, or even a home run, the next guy was getting hit. Right. They just didn't want guys hitting the ball on the outside part of the plate hard. So, you know, I think you're going to see Wayne hit the ball well. Earl will be interesting because Earl, like Wayne said, Earl can hit bombs. I mean, he hit what, 10 home runs last year in a, you know, 20 game season. But I think Earl's going to struggle because he has a longer swing.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that the shorter distance until he can maybe get a little quicker, he might struggle a little bit in the beginning, but those hitters that are going to push the ball away, I think we're going to be surprised by some of these little scrappier guys, right? Maybe a guy we don't even know yet, some smaller guy is going to show up.
You got a couple people on your team that are going to be scrappy.
Yeah, we got, you know, I got one of our leadoff hitters from the Braves. He's playing with us. He's not a lot of power, but he can hit the ball opposite field, right?
So. You know who I wanted? Mike, I was keeping my cards close to my chest. You know who I wanted off your team?
My team?
Yeah.
Who?
Chuck Sauer. That's my boy. That guy right there. Let me tell you something about that guy. He went to Northeast when I went to Chesapeake. That guy right there is probably, you wouldn't believe it, he's probably one of the all-around really, really, really sound athletes. That guy can throw a football. That guy can play, that mid whatever it is, the mid softball. He was big in that. I forget what it's called, but it's not slow pitch and it's not fast pitch. It's in the middle. And
you, you trip.
Yeah. But it's something that's like it's not slow and it's not the fast. It's right in the middle. I'll think of it, but that guy right there, he can get on the mound for you and throw, and he's going to make adjustments. He's a slap hitter. He'll do really good in this wiffle ball because he's going to throw his hands and he's going to slap that ball wherever it's pitched. So you've got a definite good one. I had wind that he was with you, but I was going to try to buy him a steak dinner and get him to jump ship. I was hoping I would really stack this thing up.
So here's a question for Jordan, right? As we're talking about, obviously in the beginning, there's only three defensive players. For all of us baseball guys, not a lot of balls are going to be caught in the air early in this league, in the season, right? I mean, the balls just fly different. As the fielders start to catch up to, you know, ball flight, do you see these slap hitters not doing as well, or are they still very successful?
I mean, I would say they're still very successful because just like you said, the ball flies so many different ways. Like, it's just a matter of putting the barrel on the ball. And if you square the ball up 90% of the time, I feel like it's not coming back. So there's nothing really specifically a fielder could do unless it's hit directly at him, or you know, you get an outfield with a ton of range that could stop a ball from rolling and touching the wall that would make it a double. But aside from that, like, if you want to get real specific, if you want to like pitch a certain guy only on the outer half and then shift your defense, I feel like that would probably be a bigger factor, or like putting everybody on the pull side for someone that you know is pull heavy and just jamming them inside, jamming them on the hands. I would say that'd probably be the best advantage in terms of like fielding, more so than like just having a guy out there that's got crazy reflexes or something like that.
Got it. So you said, you know, guys 90% of the time they get a good barrel, they're going to hit it out. You know, let's just say you're playing a 20. How many games are we playing, Bishop? 25?
I got it set for 16 because
16. So in a 16 game,
we got a couple
season,
bye dates in the middle of the season for MAW tournaments because I told Tim that I wouldn't schedule nothing for when the MAW tournaments are happening.
So in a 16 game season, how many home runs do you expect your power hitters to hit?
I would say 16 game season at least 8. And I mean, if they really figure out pitching and common tendencies, like you're really high level hitters, like maybe one a game, unless they're facing that top tier guy that's changing speeds, hitting spots, can actually pitch. But if you're just facing a guy like a thrower, a guy that's just going to throw high velocity but the same stuff, he should get at least one out every game. You got to barrel the ball up, I'd say, one time in 5 at bats. You know, by that 4th, that 5th at bat, you got to know what's coming and kind of be on time and on track.
Well, okay. Jordan, I want to ask you a question. A couple questions. Kind of the way I look at things too is, you know, like you're saying, if that's the case, you know, you're going to probably see 15 pitches, okay, in that game as a hitter. I feel like 1 out of 15 I can hit out, maybe 2, you know, and if I'm making the adjustments, it could possibly be more. But I want to change the subject a little bit and ask this question. I'm not going to speak for Greece or Bishop, but I'm 52 years old. What do you see in these leagues? I mean, is it more a young man's game, or are you starting to see even more older guys get into this league or into this wiffle ball, and are they being successful?
I would say your baseball background is a big factor that determines that. Like, if you're someone that can understand pitching, but like as a pitcher, you know, the ball moves so much that sometimes you're only limited to one specific pitch that you can really control. So like if you come from a strong baseball background and you know how to read pitchers, how to read different situations, read the count that you're in, that I feel like has more of an influence on anything else in terms of how good someone will be. Like if you can read a pitcher's tendencies, you know, 2-0 count, what's coming, or you know, when he wants to get ahead in the count, what pitch is coming. That's really what it boils down to, like that baseball IQ. And just that general gamesmanship. Like knowing via which arm angle that the guy's coming with, what pitch is going to come. And like you said, reading those 15 pitches, you're going to get a lot of, you know, you're only going to get so many. At 15 pitches, you may get three different ones. So knowing what the favorite one is, what the secondary one is, and what's the pitcher's pitch to avoid, and then just kind of when you get your pitch that you know is coming, barreling it up and executing.
Yeah, to that point, a couple of the guys that are on the Barrel Brewers of the MAW team in your league are, you know, a little bit on the older side, and two of them kind of run the gambit. So one has played wiffle ball his whole life. He's now in his mid to late 40s, Dave Capobianco, but, you know, still highly competitive. Jordan can tell you, still can shut down. You know, this guy still goes out there, throws 30 innings in tournaments. He was another guy, David, that, you know, played with his kids for a little while. So you got that kind of stuff. And then we have another player on that team. This is this guy, Jerry Hill, who started when he was 50, had a baseball background, obviously not anywhere near as extensive as your guys' backgrounds, but, you know, has taken to it pretty well, or he is kind of one of those guys now that, you know, is at least a home run at tournaments, you know, a couple home runs at tournament, just, you know, just from getting the hang of it. So that's a beautiful thing about wiffle ball. We've got, you know, it ranges from 16 to, you know, mid 50s. And if you've got the desire and you've got the, you know, the skills, you can be successful at it. So I think we're just about out of time here. So I want to give Michael, you a chance to, you know, plug the league, tell us where we can follow it, how we can follow it, when you start, and all that good stuff.
Facebook is the biggest one. If you go to Maryland Chesapeake wiffle ball, type it in, you can find us on there. That's what I mostly use. We got the website, everything on there. I haven't had, because with my I run an electrical business, so it's been tough for me to add more stuff, but the website's actually on there. I wanted to get an Instagram going before the season. I got a couple other ideas too. And the season kicks off March 6th, Sunday, which is, that's next week.
Next week.
So, what was that?
2 weeks. No, I was going to say, yeah, next week already. I was thinking it was 2 weeks, but yeah, I know me and Tim will be down there. So, you know, we'll try to get some.
Yeah, it's not this weekend, but next
the weekend after. Yeah. Yeah, we'll try to get some highlights too, because it, you know, from everything we talked tonight, it sounds like it's going to be a pretty exciting league, especially for a first year league. And I think everyone out there is going to want to keep up with it as the spring and summer progress.
Yeah. No, it's definitely going to be fun. I mean, like I said, I think you can't, besides your team, you know, with their experience, I like that, you know, we got seven teams that are going to be on the same level. And we're going to actually, you know, we'll learn from the York team. We'll know, we'll know by having them in our league, you know, where the level's at, and it's going to help us to bring our level up. And with what I know so far that's in the league, I think we're going to have a pretty competitive league. And there's only one team, I don't really know much about the Cheese Biscuits, but other than that, all the other teams, who's on first, that's actually a big softball team. They used to be like Edgewater Autobody and Crazy Autos. They're all baseball players. They never played in our Chesapeake MSBL, but with the, when they saw the wiffle ball and they saw that brought the baseball back to them and wanting to, awesome, you know, get into the wiffle ball. So they're going to be a team that actually to watch as well. I don't know, maybe start off slow, because like I said, they're baseball players, but they played softball for probably 20 years. So, but I know they're going to be pretty good. Just probably give them a couple weeks to get it back into them. Wayne's team, they're going to be very competitive. Greenlee, his team's going to be competitive. I've saw the list. I know he probably knows he could add more, but he still has a good team. Us, of course, I've talked to Tim and you and Nick. I'm going to be doing all the tournaments. We're going to have a pretty good team. So, I mean, the league's going to help out, because what is it? April 23rd is the kickoff.
Correct. Yep.
And we're definitely getting in that. And I'm going to try to do every one. But, you know, it gives us time with us starting March 6th to get ready for that. So, and, you know, if I have to make any adjustments when we go up there, you know, I can. Maybe I'll bring Greenlee and Wayne, get them two to come with me.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, all those league games and tournament games by June or July, your whole team will be locked in there, Bishop, because that's a lot of at-bats to get in. There's a lot of gameplay to get in at a short time period. So we're excited to have you guys, and we're excited to follow the Maryland Chesapeake League as it gets going. So thanks, Michael, Wayne, and David for joining us. Thanks, Jordan, for filling in last minute.
Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you, Jordan.
And we'll thank you guys, man. It's an honor meeting you guys.
Yeah, no, it should be a real fun season. You guys were a pleasure to talk to. So we'll see everyone next time here on the Drop Podcast on the National Whipple Podcast Network.